You're listening to Object of Sound from PRX and Sonos, and this is Christmas at Home with Hanif Abdurraqib. I'm Hanif Abdurraqib, and I'm at home. I'm also a poet and a cultural critic, and I'm really glad to have you here with me for this special broadcast. So I grew up in a Muslim family, and that family did not celebrate Christmas, and traditionally, I have, even in my adult years, not really celebrated Christmas. When I was young and now as an adult, my affection for Christmas largely revolves around aesthetics. I love lights. I love snow in theory and a little bit less in practice, though I'm a Midwesterner, so I've had to learn to love it in both theory and practice. And of course, I love Christmas music. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, if you are in public from about November to the end of December, you're going to hear a Christmas song whether you want to or not. And instead of feeling assaulted by the music, I often felt overjoyed by it. I would sometimes go to a mall and just wander and hear Christmas songs and immerse myself in the so-called spirit of the holiday that I have come to understand, which is a very no-strings-attached affection for the aesthetic. And so that brings us to this Christmas special, which I first thought of doing when I saw Mariah Carey on midnight the day after Halloween emerge from her home and smash pumpkins and insist that it is now her time, the time for the Christmas song.
It's
So in this special episode, we're going to lean into all of these dimensions of Christmas music, and whatever your faith tradition or non-traditions are, this episode is for you, and I hope you find something joyful and maybe even romantic in it. We'll hear from She and Him, a duo made up of Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward. We get in what it's like to reimagine the standards and bring your own sound to iconic Christmas songs. But before that, my first guest on the show today to explore some of these topics is Hrishikesh Hirway. Hrishikesh is a musician, and he's the host of two podcasts that happen to speak to two of my favorite things. Song Exploder, the show where musicians take apart their songs and tell the stories of how they're made, and Home Cooking, a podcast about figuring out what to cook during quarantine. Here's my interview with Hrishikesh Hirway. Hrishi, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So to jump right in, I'm wondering, what's the song that signals to you that the holiday is here?
You know, it's funny. As much as I love Christmas, and I love it for aesthetic reasons like you, I'm not ready for it until Thanksgiving is over. And then I'm ready to hear some Christmas music. I would say any Nat King Cole Christmas song works for me.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our game.
Nat King Cole, for me, is the voice of Christmas. Bing Crosby as well. And then also the Charlie Brown Christmas album, the Vince Guaraldi trio.
Yeah. I think about Donny Hathaway as the voice of Christmas, but only because I think his version of This Christmas is so stunning. Irreplaceable and impossible to build upon, though many people have tried.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun.
You know, when covers happen, oftentimes they can be a cause for concern.
Yeah.
But I think in the realm of the Christmas song, there are a lot of standards that are easily coverable. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're essentially the easiest pop songs to get away with covering because they're perhaps appealing to a feeling more than an actual kind of, you know, having to adhere to a sonic template.
Or a narrative one. Like, you don't have to worry about, like, am I telling somebody else's story?
Right. I've always thought, again, as from an outsider's perspective, that they're kind of like the thematic concerns of Christmas songs are really distilled to like maybe 3 to 5 things where it's like, it's snowing and snow is cool. There are the songs where it's just like straight up love snow. there are the songs that are kind of like voyeuristically odd and romantic. Like to say, like, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, where we, the listener, in on the secret, but the speaker slash child person is maybe not in on the secret. So there's all the weird, like, want to make out with Santa songs.
Yeah.
There are the
and
more
I do
broadly,
not endorse.
Yeah, those aren't my favorite. To
yeah.
Be clear.
Yeah.
There are the more like broadly romantic songs about gifts and whatnot. And then there are a lot of songs where it's just like, come check out this baby, you know?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which weirdly, among my favorite, though, I have no religious connection to that kind of thematic concern.
Absolutely. No, the come check out this baby are, those are my top gems.
are there any that I have missed?
Well, I would say, I think the wistful Christmas song is maybe a different container. And because I think maybe one of my favorite Christmas standards is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
It's thinking about all these things, fondly remembering all the aesthetics of Christmas, and then, you know, but then the little twist of the knife of that, like, but I'm not going to be there, actually.
Yeah. The Wistful Christmas song is perhaps the best of the containers, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I like to think of Christmas as a holiday of longing, essentially. Even, like, capitalistic longing, it's still longing.
right. I mean, so in the genre of the hey baby, hey this actual baby genre, like, my favorite is Little Drummer Boy.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, that one really gets me emotionally. And then in terms of just the pure sonics of it, I think there's a ton of wistfulness in Do You Hear What I Hear?
Yeah.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see?
So standards, I kind of want to talk about Christmas standards and the lack of evolution of the Christmas standard, where in my lifetime, there's only been one new, really enduring Christmas standard that's come to life.
Yeah, which is what, in your opinion?
Which is All I Want for Christmas Is You by the great Mariah Carey.
I think in some ways the fact that Mariah Carey made one at all, even though it was so long ago, 1994?
You are right. It was 94.
Okay. I think because someone did it at all within the last 30 years, there's still this little glimmer of hope that someone can do it again. If she hadn't had that hit, I don't know if something else would have come in to claim that place. But every year, yeah, people think, well, maybe I could have that Mariah Carey thing. It's hard for me to imagine. I think I felt about it when it came out kind of similarly to the way that I feel about Christmas songs coming out right now, which is, I'm like, what are you trying to do? Whomst do you think you are?
Wait, why did you feel it? Why was that your take?
I think of it as a very old holiday. And of course, for people who celebrate it religiously, it's an old holiday as well. But even just in the pure American cultural version of it, it's also something old. Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby.
Please have snow and mistletoe.
These voices and their recordings, they sound old.
Yeah.
And these traditions are all things that existed before I was born. So to me, like, the spirit of Christmas is this thing that's kind of timeless. And timeless means anything that was like, that kind of like predates me. So anything that where I can be like released within my lifetime, released within a time, you know, where I had opinions about songs and TV shows, it just feels like it doesn't count, because I'm like, this is, you're missing the intrinsic thing of Christmas, which is that it's old.
There is something for me, though, about All I Want for Christmas Is You, and that it feels like, it certainly doesn't feel old. It doesn't have that kind of scratchy, grainy quality that a Bing Crosby record might have. But I do not remember. I was 10 or 11 when that song came out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a time in my life where that song doesn't exist. And yeah. Obviously I have memories before I was 10 or 11 years old, but it seems like that song, what makes me feel like that song is a classic in the literal sense is that it feels to me that that song has existed for my entire life. Like it feels like I was born and that is the first song I heard.
Yeah. I mean, and I have to imagine like there were people who listened to the brand new Bing Crosby record when it came out and they were like, yeah. Hey, check out this hot new pressing. We're going to put this on for Christmas. So it's a totally illogical position to take, but that's how I feel about it. I still feel that way about it. Of course, there are fully formed humans for whom they've literally been alive only in a post All I Want for Christmas Is You era. And I can't invalidate their existence.
What do you think is missing then? If you talk about the Christmas standard and these attempts to recreate the Mariah magic, but not really ever getting there. You know, it's funny, the Ariana Grande song I love, Santa Tell Me.
Santa tell me if you're really there. Don't make me fall in love again if you won't be here next year. Santa tell me if he really cares.
I love that song. And I was like, that song had a moment. And we were talking about this in a production meeting. I was like, that song had a moment. That song did really well. And then I Googled it. I was like, oh, it didn't have a moment, really. It's like highest chart position was maybe like 50th. And so it does feel like there are songs, even the great songs, are maybe missing something that Mariah Carey was able to hit on. And for me, you know, I think what All I Want for Christmas Is You works because it takes the idea of Christmas, which is very much rooted, at least sometimes, often, in commercials and in movies and all this, as this time to give material items or bask in the giving of a material item, or movies are propelled by anxieties around who can and cannot afford material items. Mm-hmm. You get a song like All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is all about the giving of the self or the receiving of the self. Mm-hmm. And I think there is maybe something about that which draws me to it repeatedly. I'm a bit more of a romantic, and so I think this is a song I love because it is kind of just saying, listen, I don't want all this other stuff. If you show up, that's enough for me. It's hard for me to unlock the granular pleasures of Christmas, perhaps because I don't have access to the nostalgia of it, which I think is maybe why the Mariah Carey song resonates with me specifically.
Right.
Because I was a kid when it came out, and it is the one thing that takes me back to a childhood Christmas that feels like mine.
Yeah. It lets you connect to a personal nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's funny because I do think that why I love Christmas so much is because of the nostalgia. Nostalgia was the feeling that I was most obsessed with as a child, and maybe I still am. I know that I am trying to evoke certain like feelings of my favorite Christmas songs in all the songs that I write that have nothing to do with Christmas. But that feeling is something that was so palpable when I was a little kid, even if I didn't understand it. It was a feeling that you could really connect with and touch. And I feel like I've spent my entire artistic life, like trying to create that or recreate that in some way in my own version. So I don't know that you need to have the thing that connects to your own life in order to feel the nostalgia.
So when we were kind of chatting a bit before the interview, you told me about a video game called Red Lantern, which you composed some holiday music for. How do you, like in your own music, kind of try to inject the sound and or feeling of what Christmas is to you?
Well, there are some things that I think are really clear markers of Christmas music, you know, like a jingle bell for sure. And I think a little bit of choral action goes a long way in giving you some Christmas vibes. But then there are also things that are a little bit harder to put your finger on. That patina of nostalgia, like where do you get that from? I think there is some kind of ambient texture, you know, like an analog-y quality, that if you can make the thing feel a little bit dusty and a little bit older, then it pushes it a little bit more towards Christmas.
Let's take a listen. This is your track, Holiday Lights, from the video game The Red Lantern. Listening to Object of Sound, and after a short break, we'll be back with Hrishikesh Hirway to hear his favorite non-traditional renditions of traditional Christmas songs. We'll be right back.